This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
That's right, it's Cashing Out. Welcome into the program, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, taking you through all the action all night long here on the Sports Betting Network. Got to get you updated where we stand with NBA Finals Game 3 in Indianapolis. We are looking at 3 minutes, 20 seconds to go. The Pacers up by 5. 107-102 is your score right now. Currently in the market, you have Indiana laying 5 and a hook. Total 227.5. We're similarly where we ended things when the market closed pre-flop. We had Thunder minus 5.5, 226 the total, and we're just about there right now with a little over 3 minutes to go. If you haven't been watching, you are missing an epic game. And of course, always make us your second screen while you're watching. You don't need to hear the play-by-play. I've got you covered as a big three-point shot for Indiana makes it an 8-point game. An 8-point lead for the Pacers, where, look, they were in a great position, people. They may not win the series. They may not win another game. But you have to believe, because the Pacers believe. Splitting 1-1 to open things up in Oklahoma City was the perfect situation. It's everything they dreamt of. There's a reason they had a dud in game two, because they did what they needed to do. They stole home court. Now they come home, where that's been mitigated, the home court advantage in the series for Oklahoma City. Crowd's juiced up, ready to go. We'll actually check in with Rhys Reynolds here of VSiN, who's at the game in Indianapolis. He'll give us his thoughts on how things are shaking out. But based on what we've learned in the NBA postseason, it may be an 8-point game, but things are always far from over. And Indiana's been involved in a lot of these messes on the winning side, where you think one team's going to win, and all of a sudden Tyrese Haliburton pulls off a miracle. So with about 2:35 to go, I'm not counting the Thunder out yet, but as someone who bet the Pacers plus 5.5 over at VSiN.com/picks, and also a little sprinkle, we went to Carvel and got those rainbow sprinkles on the money line at plus 180, I'm hoping they finish the job here. But big picture, not sure if Indiana can win this series, but this was a great situation for them. And the road woes may continue, it seems like, if things finish the way it's looking, where Oklahoma City's 0-7 against the spread on the road this postseason. They don't cover today, which if they don't win, they're definitely not covering, because they closed as 5.5-point favorites. That would make them 0-8 against the spread on the road in the postseason. Also, some weird games in game threes. For whatever reason, it's been an issue for this team. It continues here in the finals as they're looking at a play to see, I believe, where the ball went out of bounds. There is a break in the action. You're not missing anything. And with that, we should set up today's show. Let you know what we're going to do here over the course of the next 3 hours. Appreciate you joining me. Wherever you may be, however you may be tuning into the program, Sirius XM Channel 158, YouTube TV, and of course, go on your phone, go to the App Store, download the VSiN Watch app. You can check out all of our shows anytime, whenever you want. Also, a great little section where we sort our clips from shows by topic. So you want to see something on the Dallas Cowboys, give it an old search in the VSiN Watch app. You'll be able to pull up all those clips about the Cowboys, who I don't care about the Cowboys. I'm a Giants fan, but I know America cares about the Cowboys. There's still that stigma that they are America's team. I don't know, with national television games, the way the NFL operates anymore, if the Cowboys are really America's team, but I know a lot of you care about them. You can search for any team anywhere on the VSiN Watch app. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, and we've got a great guest list lined up for you today. Coming up in about 25 minutes, my guy Adam Rosenberg going to help us look at Thursday's MLB baseball card, where there's some player props that jump out to me. He's always got some great props, and he has a World Series bet he wants to give out at 9-1. I think it's interesting and worth discussing. We'll touch on that. Then coming up at 12:15 a.m. Eastern, 9:15 on the West Coast, we'll talk Stanley Cup Final. I need to know, are the Edmonton Oilers dead? I want to believe. I also want to bet that plus price. My buddy Rob Brender, who does halftime, pregame, postgame for all the national broadcasts for the Stanley Cup Final, will join us via Sports USA. Then at 12:45 a.m. Eastern, Spencer Aguiar helping us preview the PGA, the U.S. Open. Need to know what's going on in that wild course up there in Pennsylvania, where I got to look at it. They're not near water, but there's a lot of sand. So I'm curious, how do we attack the betting board as far as the U.S. Open goes? And then, as I mentioned, Wes Reynolds in our final hour, 1:15 a.m. Eastern time, checking in from Indianapolis. He is a Pacers fan, where I imagine he may not want to do the hit. If I'm Wes Reynolds, I'm blowing me off. I'm not going to lie. I'm saying, Dustin, I don't have time. We have to party in the streets of Indianapolis. St. Elmo's. We're going to get some steaks and some shrimp cocktail and then drown ourselves in some beer, because if the Pacers win this and they take a 2-1 series lead, oh man, the market will be fascinating. I'm sitting on an 11-1 ticket on Indiana to win the whole thing. I didn't really believe I'd ever have to use the ticket. Like, I thought it would be dead at some point. I bet it when Jason Tatum went down against the Knicks, because I had a bunch of Knicks exposure at 28-1, 13-1 to win the title. And I thought, you know what? It's going to be Knicks-Pacers in the Eastern Conference Final. Let me guarantee someone makes the NBA Finals. So I took the Pacers 11-1. I thought it was a pretty solid number at that point in time. And here they are. If they take a series lead, I'm fascinated to see what this series market will look like tomorrow. I have a feeling the bookmakers are still going to be stubborn. They're still going to believe in Oklahoma City. It won't be too much of a drop, I don't believe. But as someone who has that ticket looking to hedge, I imagine it's going to be my best opportunity to lock in a profit, with the Thunder probably still laying north of $2, I'd say $2.50, somewhere in that range. So we'll see that as it comes out later tonight. In the meantime, we're under 2 minutes to go, and I believe we have an Oklahoma City turnover. 110-104 is the game. We do. Pacers with the basketball. They're up by 6 currently in the market. Indiana's laying 4.5. Total's down to 223.5, and that total's been fluctuating all night long. Very early on, it got over 230 at one point, back down to around 225, 226. Now we're at 221.5 in this 6-point game, and I think we're going under. There's just not enough time left and not enough shots to be made unless the foul shots get crazy here, as Oklahoma City's offense, very odd. Started things off, Oklahoma City, where there was a good flow. Chet Holmgren was involved early, cashed his prop total at VSiN.com/picks early in the first half, so that was great to get there. And then all of a sudden in the second quarter, I don't know what happened. There was no ball movement, and the assist numbers kind of tell you the story there, but watching the game, you just knew they weren't playing their game, as the Pacers now take a 112-104 lead with 109 to go on a Pascal Siakam bucket. So that is massive, and the Indiana crowd is into this thing because, hey, belief's a scary thing, and they believe in their team, and their team should believe because they absolutely belong. Hand up, I was wrong. I flip-flopped on the Thunder a lot over the course of the last couple months. I was against them going into the playoffs. I didn't see it. I didn't see a team that had a veteran, that had secondary scoring options outside of SGA. But more importantly, I saw a young roster where outside of Alex Caruso, a lot of guys who had not been through it before. And then I watched them closely in the playoffs. And I thought this was an all-time team. Thought it was an all-time defense that set up the offense. And it seemed like it was a sustainable system. Right, turning those turnovers into points routinely, it became quicksand for a lot of opponents. For whatever reason, Mark Daigneault is going away from what he does, and he's doing what the Pacers want to do. Now, while the total is down, the action's been up. There's been plenty of offense in the game shooting-wise. It's just the shots aren't falling. Chet Holmgren's 0 for 5 from 3. SGA's 9 of 20 from the field. They're getting opportunities, they're just not converting, and part of that is because the Thunder are going away from what they do. By changing the starting lineup, taking Hartenstein out, rolling with Kayson Wallace out there, you're signaling to Indiana, let's play your game, let's get into the track meet, and the Thunder are failing. And if you're going to be a one seed, you're going to be the favorite in the market, you're going to be the best team in basketball, coming off a year that you just had 68 wins, I'm sorry. You dictate the terms of the fight. You do not let the underdog come in and tell you the style we're going to go at it with. And that's an issue. He's an inexperienced coach in Mark Daigneault. He's done a great job with this team. He was obviously the right guy for the job when they moved on from Billy Donovan. But the reality is he's being outcoached by Rick Carlisle. He's not the first, won't be the last, but Rick Carlisle showing he is able to make key adjustments over and over again in every series. That's been one of the most interesting things to me when it comes to this postseason. Rick Carlisle as an in-game, in-series adjuster has just been tremendous, always pulling the right strings. Right now, because of whatever he's called up, Benedict Mathurin has 25 points. He went way over his points total of 8.5. 8.5, and he's got 25. But here's the thing. Right now, he's tied with Jalen Williams for the most points in this game. He closed 140-1 to be the leading scorer of this game. If there's a tie, those tickets, depending on the book you're at, should cash. So Benedict Mathurin, for those of you who had it on your bingo card, to one, have the Benedict Mathurin game be game three of the NBA Finals. Two, him potentially lead it in scoring. That would be insane. As was that Jalen Williams who just missed a free throw? I believe Jalen Williams just missed a free throw, which keeps that 140-1 ticket alive for those of you with that on him to lead the game in scoring. Let me confirm that real quick, because if that is what just happened, oh my God. 43 seconds to go. He did miss it, so he's tied with Mathurin. Halliburton goes to the rack and misses a shot. Thunder have the ball, but they're down 7 with 35.7 to go. And it looks like the Pacers want a jump ball, but are they calling a foul? I'll let you know what happens in a moment. Do you want to bet smarter this football season? Become a VSiN Pro today and get a full year for just $199 plus a free order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum. Sign up now. You'll get instant access to a daily email from best bets from each show, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus our NFL betting guide, which drops July 21st. Plus, you get Josh's awesome book that comes out soon. Just sign up at VSiN.com/subscribe and use the promo code BOOK. All right, final 35 seconds, NBA Finals Game 3. Do the Pacers hold on? Find out next on Cashing Out.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at it on Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson hanging out with you here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm sorry. If you bet Oklahoma City tonight, you don't like to see me smiling right now. But 2.3 seconds to go, and the Indiana Pacers are going to win this thing up 116-107. That is your final score. The Indiana Pacers have a 2-1 series lead in the NBA Finals. We had it over at VSiN.com/picks, Pacers plus 5.5, Chet over 14.5 points, Halliburton over 31.5 PRA. We did lose a couple props on Turner and Isaiah Hartenstein, but we get there with a 3-2 night, and that is a massive swing in the series. That is insane. Oklahoma City, who looked like this insurmountable team along the way here in the Western Conference, where they just, look, they had issues with Denver, but that was a Nikola Jokic thing. Minnesota is a very good team, and they made Minnesota look like a lottery team in the Western Conference Finals. Now, all of a sudden, Indiana, who's been playing awesome basketball for the last few months, and they've been a team of some magic, the magic has continued. They're up 2-1. Final line for Tyrese Halliburton, 22-11-9. Oh, if you bet him to get a triple-double, you're sick. I'm looking right now. Halliburton was 15-1 to get a triple-double. You were one rebound away. He goes over on his points of 17.5 with 22. He goes over on his rebounds way over. He had 9 in the game. It was set at 4.5. And 8.5 assists was the total. He had 11. A monster game from Tyrese Halliburton, who I think something's abundantly clear with Indiana. When he plays more selfish, they're better. It's just a reality. You don't like to say it out of a point guard, but you want him to call his number more. It opens things up for everyone else, and that's what happened tonight. And to update you on where we stand on the leading scorer from the game, Benedict Mathurin, while we were away, hit some free throws. He finished with 27 points. Jalen Williams was the next highest scorer in the game at 26. I need to know, is there a sicko out there at VSiN Live, at Dustin Sweetelson? I need to see the ticket. If you bet Benedict Mathurin 140-1, I need to know what your next play is, because you're a genius. I mean, I also think you're crazy, because sometimes I watch Benedict Mathurin and I don't think his brain was turned on during the game. But he was brilliant tonight. He was absolutely brilliant, and he leads the game in scoring. Odds are up, it looks like, for game 4 of the series. Pacers, with the win tonight, remain dogs at home. Thunder laying 6, total 225.5. The total keeps coming down. So we closed around 226, 226.5, depending where you bet. Today, game 4, it's 225.5. I have a feeling, based on the way things go, let me do the math, 223 points in this one, stays well under there by a few points. I imagine they're anticipating more unders. Because what I talked about last second remains true. The Thunder keep trying to play the Pacers game, and that's why they're losing. That's the issue at hand for the Thunder. You have to dictate the style of this fight, man. You have to come out here and say, no. This is what we do. We put you in our trap. We turn you over and turn it into points over and over again. And in the blink of an eye, you look up, you're down 10. Right now, they're trying to run with Indiana. That's not what you do. They need to use their defense to set up their offense, not try and go shot for shot. Part of that's going to be slowing down the pace. I like the under in game 4, 225.5 is the total. Let's take a look. I don't believe I see a series price up right now. We will be on the lookout for that because I am curious about the adjustment. Nope, I see it now. And I was right. Over $2, you want to lay it with Oklahoma City. The Thunder are minus 230 to win the series. Pacers are down to plus 190. This is real, people. I don't think they're going down. I don't think Indiana is going down without a fight. I'm anticipating the Pacers making this a seven-game series. I think that they have something up their sleeve here with Oklahoma City where the Thunder don't have enough tertiary, secondary scoring options to go shot for shot. That's the problem with Dagnall trying to play the Pacers game. Jalen Williams is an up-and-down player. Sometimes he's a number 2, sometimes he's a number 4. That's an issue for the Thunder. Chet Holmgren disappears at times. Tonight was a good Chet game. 20 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists. I would note, though, 15 of those points came in the first half. He was non-existent in the second half for the Thunder. That can't happen. And then SGA, who's been so efficient in that mid-range game, 9 of 17 from the field, just 1 of 1 from 3, that's just not going to get it done for this team. SGA goes well under his point prop of 33.5, finishing with 26 points in this one. And an unsung hero this game, and if you listen to the show on Monday, you heard Sean Green from the Sports Gambling Podcast. He joined me, and he said, TJ McConnell every which way. I love TJ McConnell. He loved him coming back home. And that's where role players step up and play their best. McConnell's a dog, man. McConnell's one of those guys who could play on any championship team. He brings energy off the bench. He brings defense. He had 5 steals today off the bench. But more importantly, contributed 10 points, 5 assists, and a rebound. And it was in that second quarter where the Pacers outscored Oklahoma City 40-28. I'm looking at O'Connell's props today. Point total was set at 6.5. He scored 10. 2.5 rebounds. He actually goes under in that one, but assist goes over the 3.5 with 5. 15 minutes for TJ McConnell was everything tonight. Made a difference in the game. Part of the reason why the Thunder were able to win this thing and go up 2-1. It's Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, and I'll be here for the next 3 hours, and we've got a fun show lined up for you. Still to come, we're going to look at Stanley Cup Final Game 4, where I'm tempted, man. If you have a good read on the game, you let me know. But my vibe is to take the plus points with Edmonton. Am I being stubborn, or is it an advantageous situation? Because no one believes the Oilers are coming back. The Oilers, plus $1.30 right now, you have to lay a price with Florida, where I don't think they could play worse than they did in Game 3. I think it's a bounce-back opportunity. So we'll touch on that a little bit later in the show. Robert Brender, Sports USA, going to check in. He's been all over the finals, doing pre, half, post, and breaking down all of the action. I need to know if the Oilers are dead, because I'm concerned about the body language. It's something we noted on Monday's show, where it felt like the life had been sucked out of them. And Florida had all the momentum. Florida has all the depth. And the question is, who starts in goal for Edmonton? I don't think Stuart Skinner can be out there. But Calvin Pickard, I mean, it's not like he's a really solid. You don't know what you're getting out of Pickard. And because of that, I think that Knobloch has a real dilemma on his hands. Because if he goes with Pickard and he allows a couple goals early, they're in trouble, right? They're in trouble because how do you go back to Skinner in that spot who's sitting on the bench watching it happen? If you go with Skinner and he's as bad as he was in game 3, you're now going to be down 3-1. And the series, I'm not going to say is over based on what the Oilers did last year, forcing a game seven. But it's asking a lot from a team to do the same thing 2 years in a go, 2 years in a row, and have to overcome those types of odds. Also later in the show, donation or dangerous when it comes to some futures tickets. We're going to mix in a little bit of football. We've got some baseball plays in there, some long tickets. And then at some point, we're going to recap what happened today in Major League Baseball. There is a team in the bigs that is now auto-fire team total when they're in this situation. I'll break that down a little bit later. But speaking of baseball, are you locked into the College World Series? Well, you should be. And if you want more coverage, we've got it for you here on VSiN. We're hitting the road, people. Going to Omaha. Omaha. Live tomorrow through Saturday, broadcasting straight from Rutgers, the iconic home of the Jell-O Shot Challenge. Catch money moves and follow the money live from Omaha with the sights and sounds and best bets from the tournament. Head to VSiN.com/CWS for all the details and a free College World Series betting guide. I'm pumped to see Stormy and JVT, Mitch and Paulie out there with Derek Stevens, Bill AD, making the trek to Omaha where the Jell-O Shot Challenge is going on. And as I mentioned Monday, JVT didn't want to say it on his show. He asked me to do it here. He's embarrassed for his co-host to know he's offering this. But if you're in Omaha and you want to do a body shot off of Jonathan Von Tobel, you just got to tell him. He'll lay on the bar. They'll pour it in his belly button. You'll drink that thing right out. It's good for you. There's extra protein there for you. That's not the big story of the day, though. The big story of the day is the Indiana Pacers. They're up 2-1. They won tonight in Game 3, 116-107, obviously covering +5.5, and they cash on the money line, +$1.80. Game stays under the total of 226, and I think they made a statement here. They're not a fluke. They're not a comeback team. They're not some miracle that's pulling wins out of their you-know-what. They're legit. They're a title contender, and the market is very slowly adjusting. And I know at the beginning of the postseason, there were a lot of people touting the Pacers as a team to win the East. But did any of you get down and bet them to win the whole thing? Send me those tickets at VSiN Live, at Dustin Sweetelson. I want to see them. And if you're a sicko who bet Benedict Mathurin to be the leading scorer of this game, man, I just want to shake your hand because that is a gutsy, gutsy call. He finishes with 27 points, leads all scorers, off the bench for the Pacers. And folks, we have a series. It's a shame the TV ratings are down and no one's watching because the basketball has been tremendous. Is this team bettable at 9-1 to win the World Series? Adam Rosenberg breaks it down on the other side of Cashing Out.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Welcome back into the show. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out here at Circa in downtown Las Vegas, where the story of the night is the Indiana Pacers. They have taken a 2-1 series lead in the NBA Finals thanks to a 116-107 victory at home in Game 3, where somehow Benedict Mathurin was your leading scorer. And the odds on that happening, I can tell you, were 140-1. That's literally what it was booked at. So if you bet that, you need to tweet me at Dustin Sweetelson, at VSiN Live, because that is absurd. More on that later on in the show. We'll look at the adjusted series price as things are coming back down for Oklahoma City and Indiana, where maybe there's an opportunity to get in. But we're going to shift over to Major League Baseball right now. Welcome in my buddy, Adam Rosenberg. You know him from the Sports Gambling Podcast. There's a lot of MLB work there. Of course, Dad's Bet Baseball Pod. And he joins me now on the Progressive Guest Line. Man, Adam, thanks for doing this. You're the best. I love chatting with you, and I love talking baseball. Yeah. As I've started to look, because of you and your social media presence, I've started to bet more player props, and I enjoy it. I don't do as many home run props. I do more total bases, hits, runs, RBIs, but I'm enjoying the player prop aspect of things. I'm sure you have one here for me tonight, but let's start with tomorrow's card, where there's an interesting matchup in Baltimore. Tarek Skubal on the bump laying $1.94 at Dean Kramer and the O's +157. Total is 8. Tell me what we're going to do with that lopsided matchup.
So, look, before I get into it, I want to say because of you, I bet first half money lines for NFL parlays, which you, I you have championed this cause.
I mean, well, that's either a good or bad thing, because there's been plenty of them that come down to the last leg.
It's been great. I love it. It's been great. Because I loved seeing all your winning tickets from. I'm like, I should do that. And then I did it. All right. So look, there are, without getting too much into specifics, I'll get mildly specific, but there are certain occasions when you want to fade Dean Kramer. Dean Kramer, I have found, gets very distracted when there are geopolitical events that go on in the Middle East. And you can Google and find out reasons why that happens. I'm not here to do political stuff. But just know that there are some things going on in the Middle East that might be distracting to Kramer. I have tracked all this to date and time since October of a couple of years ago. He is at auto fade tomorrow because of these things happening. I love the Tigers here on the run line at -1.5. They've actually, in their five matchups against the O's this season, they're 4-1 against them, and they've covered the run line three times. This Tigers team is continuously undervalued in the market. I mean, this O's team's getting hot, but they're, you know, pretty down there and really put themselves in a hole the first 2 months. But this Tigers team, you're always getting a really good price on them. I think having only 194 for Skubal, who I think is arguably the best pitcher in major leagues, is kind of insulting. Give me the run line. I'm all in on the Tigers tomorrow. I think you could probably find some other props that I would do that haven't come out yet, but I would definitely take the Dean Kramer over 2.5 earned runs. I believe that's up a couple places, just because, again, he does get distracted when there are certain geopolitical events that happen in the Middle East, and those things are happening right now.
Yeah, he also gets distracted on the road, Berg. I mean, he has horrible road numbers, 633 away from Camden Yards versus 225 at home. Those are staggering splits for Kramer. And the Tigers touched him up back in April pretty bad. And that's when we kind of knew, oh, the Tigers' offense is legit. And that was the question coming into the year. Right, we all saw the pitching staff with Skubal and bringing Flaherty back and the depth they had in arms. Olsen, who emerged a year ago. We knew they could pitch. We didn't know they could hit. They can legit hit. This offense is great, especially a few key guys against righties like Carpenter and Green and McKinstry, who I think I'm going to be on tomorrow with player props. Do you believe in the Tigers enough to bet them to win the World Series?
This Tigers team has the best record in Major League Baseball, and they're 9-1 to win the World Series. That is absolutely bonkers. And to your point about their hitting, they are top 10 in ISO. They are top 10 in WOBA. They are top 10 in WAR. They are top 10 in expected slugging. They're top 10 in expected WOBA. So they are doing exactly what they're supposed to do. Their Pythag on their wins is exactly where it's supposed to be. This team isn't outperforming. This team is very good. They have multiple first round picks that are coming into their own. Spencer Torkelson, Riley Green, Casey Mize. These are all key players on this team. And I think that because they don't have someone who's just simply bombing 30 and getting a hunt, they don't have an Otani, and they play in a ballpark that is, by the way, gorgeous. I was there a couple weeks ago, yeah. Comerica. It's fantastic. But it suppresses hitting, especially from the left side, that no one notices. I cannot understand why a team would have this long odds. I mean, that is effectively saying, you know, well, the parlay is of them beating the Yankees and the Dodgers. Sure, fine, whatever. But I love the Tigers right now. I'm on the Tigers wagon right now to do it all. Like, I think I don't like to take a World Series outright, but it's really hard to not want that at that number right now.
No, we live in a world, too, where you just need a pitcher who can – he's capable of going on a Josh Beckett-like heater in October. They have it. Skubal's the guy.
Yep.
He can absolutely do it. He can carry them all the way. And they have enough hitting. And I also think – because there's a lot hanging over whether the Tigers are going to sign Skubal long term, there's a lot of talk that the Ilitch family, who's been cheaper since Ilitch Sr. passed away a few years ago, I think they capitalize on the opportunity. And they could be a team that's ultra aggressive at the deadline to add a couple pieces. Because if you win a World Series in the window with Skubal, it's a little bit easier for a small market team to let him walk down the road. Like, hey, we did it. We did what we had to do. Now let's replenish the farm system and do it again with some other guys for a team that doesn't want to spend. Adam Rosenberg's our guest, sports gambling podcast, MLB guy. Of course, Dad's Bet baseball podcast. He is one of my favorite people to talk betting with. And he's got a play for you when it comes to Texas and Minnesota tomorrow. It is Bailey Ober on the bump, -169 favorite at home. $1.38 on Patrick Corbin, who's somehow been solid this year. Totals 8.5. What's the play, Berg?
Play on this is, you want to talk about home road splits. Patrick Corbin, who, by the way, has very very different splits if you go by year based on who is in the administration.
Yes.
It's It's pretty funny. But anyway, Patrick Corbin, he also stinks on the road. Bailey Ober stinks generally overall. I'm sorry to Minnesota Twins fans, but Bailey Ober kind of stinks. So I'm going with both teams to score three runs at minus 110. Corbin's got a 4.69 expected ERA on the road, 42% hard hit rate. Bailey Ober has a 4.3 expected ERA at home and a 43% hard hit rate. This is the Spider-Man meme on these guys, except one of them is left-handed where they're just pointing at each other and they're just saying, you, are you me? Are you me? So look, the Twins are faves, but have also given up three runs to their opponent, five straight, seven out of their last eight. And the Rangers have suddenly decided they want to hit the ball after being, personally, they were one of my favorites to do really well this season. They've really underperformed. They're scoring again though. And you know, they've given up three or more in seven of their last eight head to head against Minnesota. So I don't really care who wins this game. I just think that with a total of 8.5, I'll take, and two mediocre pitchers in their splits on the bump, give me both teams to score three at minus 110.
Love it. Love it. Let's move to the future market real quick, just because there's a play you and I both love, and I don't understand the pricing. I understand Paul Skenes is your favorite when it comes to the National League Cy Young, but I'm looking at Zach Wheeler at 12-1, Berg. I do not understand this. This is a guy who's had at least 26 starts going back the last four seasons, on pace for more than that this year, already at 13, 101 strikeouts, 82 innings pitched so far. And he's a guy who stays healthy and he's going to be in the mix. Doesn't 12-1 feel like an overreaction to the market?
Yeah. I mean, I came into the season and I came on here and said to a, you know, future Jello shot winner, JVT, I told him, I said, the market is dying to give this to, or the bettors or voters are dying to give this to Paul Skenes.
Yeah.
And I get that. But the reality is I don't know if Paul Skenes has done enough to be a minus 250 favorite. And Zach Wheeler, as you mentioned, he's been a model of consistency for just forever. He, the only games that he's missed have been because he's had four kids and, you know, he's going to have those vanity metrics. He's going to push for 200 Ks. He's going to have over 200 innings. He's going to be that guy who he's the ace. And he's also has a really good bridesmaid narrative because he's had over the last few years, he's been second or third in Cy Young voting. So a lot of times what happens, you see this, sometimes you see this in NFL and you definitely see this in MLB because these voters are the same writers that are looking and watching these guys over the years, that you're going to get a couple different votes that are sort of, hey, you know what, like this is for the whole collective of what you've done. Zach Wheeler at 12-1 is by far my favorite bet on the board for any future and any award right now. I think that you know, you can make some of the case for Yamamoto because of what he was doing with the case stuff that sort of tapered off. I think he's the one guy who's kind of left standing on that Dodgers team. I don't think Sale's winning it again. I don't think that Webb's going to do it on a team that's not going to make the playoffs. And again, is Skenes going to really get rewarded for, he's not going to lead the league in any of these categories. It's going to be almost like a Felix Rodriguez type of year. Is he really going to get rewarded for that? I think that Zach Wheeler at 12-1 is just kind of a bonkers number for arguably a top two pitcher in the league.
He's the best. He's Adam Rosenberg. You can find him over on X at Hey Rosenberg, where he's doing great work. Also, Sports Gambling Podcast, Dad's Bet Baseball Pod, and we'll do it again soon, man. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, man. I'll see you soon.
Awesome stuff. I co-sign Zach Wheeler. That is a look, when you bet futures, you're betting the price and the player and the situation. There's no lock he's going to win, but if his price shortens and Skenes gets a little bit longer for you where it's bettable, you can lock something in here. Speaking of lock it in, we're locked in for a great NBA Finals because of what went down tonight. How has the series price adjusted? That's on the other side of Cashing Out.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, we got a little juice with the NBA Finals. Welcome back in. This is Cashing Out, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, and man, I am so pumped to be here because it was an awesome night of basketball. You know, the big talk has been in a lot of sports talk circles. Nobody's watching this NBA Finals. It's two small markets. It's Indiana. It's Oklahoma City. It's the middle of the country. Who's the superstar outside of SGA? And if you're going to be that type of person who complains about those sort of things, you're missing out on great drama, some great theater, because the actual basketball has been great. And I think people who complain about not wanting to watch the NBA, their issues actually have nothing to do with the actual basketball, the product, the watching this thing play out in front of our eyeballs on the court, because the playoffs have been tremendous. We've had miracle comebacks. We're going to have some fresh new blood. You can debate whether having seven champions in 7 years, all from different teams, whether that's a good or bad thing. But I think it's a good thing. It shows that any team can compete any year and contend for the title. And it just doesn't have to be the elite teams on the coast, the historic teams that get the eyeballs. Now, the NBA would prefer the big markets are in the mix because most casuals care about LeBron being here, right? They want to see superstars. They want to see Kevin Durant. But what we're seeing now between the Pacers and Thunder has been 10 out of 10. I'm sorry. Game one, where the Pacers look left for dead, they come back down big again, and they end up winning that thing. It's an A-plus game. Game two, sure, it was a dud. But game three now gave us a series. We have life. And the market tells us we have life. This thing's shortening up, people. The Thunder were minus $7 to win the series. Let me repeat, minus $700 to win the series. Now I'm looking at the market when it comes to the NBA Finals, and they're minus 230. Minus 230. This thing just keeps getting cut in half over and over again. Indiana the other way is plus 190. They were 4-1 to win this thing, and they have a chance. I'm not saying they will. I think Oklahoma City does figure out a way here to win this thing. But I have to give the Pacers credit. They're giving us what we need. There's a reason to tune in. And those NBA ratings, if they're down again for game three, they will be up for game four because no one wants to miss out on this. And if you know someone who's not watching, you should encourage them to watch it. I'm sorry. You should look out for your friends and give them quality live entertainment. Don't watch Netflix. Watch the freaking NBA, where a guy was 140-1 today to be the leading scorer in the game in Benedict Mathurin, and he drops 27 and cashes that ticket. I mean, what more can you ask for from a series? This thing has been awesome. Indiana plus $1.80 on the money line got there today. They obviously plus 5.5 when this thing closed. That cashes as well. We had that over at VSiN.com/picks. And the game stays under. When it comes to Friday and game four, the market actually thinks the Thunder win by more, despite losing the way they did tonight by 9 points. Right now, it's Oklahoma City minus six, totals 225.5. My general view of that game is I don't know about side yet, but the lean's on the under. And it looks like the market's moving a little bit. 225 down to 225.5 down to 225. I would go under. If you saw today, a couple hours before tip-off, this thing was on the move with the total. Game three was 226.5. It got up to 228 at one point. We closed at 226 over at DraftKings. I'm expecting a slower pace when it comes to Friday's game. Just want to give you the numbers from tonight for those of you who don't know or didn't know who cashed and who didn't when you're looking at betting player props for game four. SGA went under on his points. He went under on his assists. He did go over on rebounds. That tells you the story. That's what you need to know. Because the Oklahoma City Thunder only go as far as Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He is their superstar. He's who they turn to in times of trouble. Is that the Beatles? Times of trouble? Yep, Mother Mary. She came to him. I don't remember what she said, but she definitely came to him. And SGA is who Oklahoma City comes to. He's the guy that it all revolves around because you can't rely on the secondary options. Jalen Williams is up and down. Chet Holmgren's up and down, although Chet had a good game. He went over on his points, he went over on his rebounds, and over on his assists, and I didn't see him listed for a double-double tonight. However, if you were betting at a book that did have that, it would have cashed. The only double-double that cashed tonight was Tyrese Halliburton, who was tremendous. He started off a little slow, but he started calling his own number. And when Halliburton is a little bit more selfish and doesn't get the other guys involved on the floor, good things happen for the Pacers because the intention there actually opens up options for Indiana. By him proving he wants to get buckets, that means Oklahoma City focuses more on him, tries to take away his lanes. They converge. That means open shots for other players. Now they have to hit those shots, which they did as he had 11 assists tonight going over his total of 8.5. And he also cleared his rebounds. He doubled it. His rebound prop was set at 4.5, and he ended up with 9. So a tremendous game from Tyrese Halliburton, and it was in the middle quarters where Benedict Mathurin took over, though. Benedict Mathurin is one of the big stories now of the NBA Finals, something none of us could have predicted. I'm sorry. No one saw this happening. Benedict Mathurin is a young player, and he's going to have a long NBA career, but there are moments where he's lost. There's moments where he's great, and today he was great, dropping 27 for the Pacers. I'm curious how the player props have adjusted for one Benedict Mathurin when it comes to Game 4. I'm pulling that up right now for you on the fly, live radio and TV. By the way, SiriusXM 158, YouTube TV, and the VSiN Watch app. You can listen, watch, wherever on any of those platforms, as this is me stalling to find Benedict Mathurin. 10.5. The adjustment is 2 points on Benedict Mathurin. Had 8.5 today. Has 10.5 as his total for Game 4. I would bet the under on one Benedict Mathurin in Game 4 on his points total. I don't see a world where he repeats this, because you have to imagine the Thunder adjust. It's Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, and there was some odds movement on a future today that has nothing to do with the NBA Finals. If you're paying attention to Kevin Durant and where he could end up, well, there's news, and the news is creating shockwaves when it comes to betting. There was a report earlier today from ESPN that KD and his business partner Rich Kleiman are sorting through trade options. The interested teams feature Houston, San Antonio, Minnesota, Miami, and New York. And with that, there was odds movement. There was also some talk on Bill Simmons' podcast about KD's future. Here's what he had to say.
I wouldn't be surprised if KD to the Spurs is done already and they just haven't announced it. Like, okay. It's basically they've agreed on specifics and they'll just announce it the week of the draft. Don't aggregate that. I have no inside info. It just feels, goes back to the Giannis thing. I think they're just going to trade for KD and it'll cost a lot less. They'll be able to be really competitive and maybe even go a couple rounds in the playoffs, but they're also going to keep the number two pick and do it that way.
Bill Simmons says that on his podcast, and the market believes where there's smoke, there's fire. So Kevin Durant's odds to go into the Spurs last Wednesday were 9-1. This past weekend, he was sitting at 7-1. On Monday, plus $1.10. And now if you want to bet in the market at DraftKings, you have to lay a price. Minus 160, Kevin Durant going to the San Antonio Spurs. The other odds have the Houston Rockets at 6-1, the Knicks at 8-1, and the Timberwolves at plus 850. I personally like the Minnesota Timberwolves as the best fit. I'm not sure they have the assets to make that work properly, but I'd love to see him play alongside Ant, who grew up idolizing him. But if we're going to look at the Spurs situation, they have a lot of solid young pieces. Obviously, they have a very early pick in the draft coming up later on. And I'm curious how they make the money work, because they have a bunch, as I mentioned, solid young guys. I don't know about superstars, but enough to make this deal and still have plenty left to have a solid second unit on the bench. Like, they're not going to be depleted as a team. He won't cost that much. Maybe CP3 is in the trade, Harrison Barnes. But you start designing an offense where you have De'Aaron Fox slashing all over the place, Kevin Durant, who could create a shot from anywhere at any time left on the shot clock, and then that freak Victor Wembanyama. The San Antonio Spurs, if they add Kevin Durant, will absolutely be contenders in the West and have a very good chance of winning the whole freaking thing. Hey, the line moved there, but before the line moves other places, you got to check out the sharp plays at sharpplays.com. They're already there with the line movement. Don't chase the market, because they move it. You are not going to outmuscle billion-dollar sportsbooks or full-time pro bettors on your own, but with the sharp plays, you really don't have to. Powered by cutting-edge AI and trusted insider sources, the Sharp Plays delivers the edge that serious bettors rely on. You'll get free betting reports, real-time alerts, and market-moving insights, all delivered right to you via email or X. This isn't some overnight startup. The Sharp Plays has a documented track record going back to 2011 with receipts, public logs, and results right there on the site. Sharpplays.com, trusted by the pros, watched by the books. Check them out at sharpplays.com. We have to touch on the Thursday Major League Baseball card, where there's a red-hot pitcher taking the bump who's got five straight quality starts. We'll discuss next on Cashing Out.